guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigate. Today we're continuing in the book of Romans, and we're up to Romans 8, 31 to 39. And this is one of those passages that when you speak about it, you just hope that you can get out of the way of this passage because it's so powerful and so good. So if you only have 2 minutes today, make sure you listen to this Bible reading and hear God's word. We're going to be looking at verse 31, and we'll start there and read to the end of the chapter. This is what it says. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here we are in the final episode this week, Ross, and the final episode of you joining us as well. So we just want to thank Pastor Ross Wilson for joining Navigate.
Thanks for having me.
We've appreciated it. And we've got this amazing passage to finish on. So looking forward to digging into it as we wrestle with. It's one of the most famous verses for a reason, I think, as we think about it. So hopefully we can do it some sort of justice as we talk about it. But let's kick it off. Ross, where do you want to start here?
Oh, look, when I read this passage, there's lots of imagery here, particularly of the courtroom setting, and that's something Paul has done a lot in Romans. He asks the question, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? So there is an accuser. Yeah. And, Paul in other places calls Satan himself the accuser. And he wants to separate us from the love of God. He wants us to not be seen in God's family or end up to be in eternity with heaven. He wants to drag us out of that path. So he will bring accusations against us. And this is a lot of us is in our own minds even. So this is what Paul wants to assure us that, when Satan gets into our heads, that we are still in a safe place. But in this courtroom, we see the person bringing the charge against us, the accuser, Satan. But then Paul also introduces us to Jesus, who intercedes for us. Mm. And I think that's important to help us in the picture. We're not there to defend ourselves. It says it's Jesus Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. He's the one that stepped in, and he's our defendant, which is also should be affirming to us that we're not left alone. It's not up to us. But then the picture develops to the charges. He talks about who can separate us from the love of Christ, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. We talked about this yesterday in that passage about suffering.
Yeah.
And sometimes we feel like suffering is God's way of frowning upon us or punishing us and being distant from us even. Mm. But Paul's saying here, even if you're going through hardship or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword even, those things will not separate us from the love of God. Satan can throw all that at us.
Yeah.
But God is far away. The doubts that gets in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, that does dark places. Don't listen to Satan. Jesus is there interceding for us.
Yeah, so it's almost like Satan tries to accuse in two ways. So we've got the courtroom where he's almost like going to God, look how sinful these people are. And God's like, hey, look at Jesus. Jesus steps in front for us. And so from the legal setting, we're okay. You know, or as we've seen in Romans, it's the word justified. We see it again here. It's this idea of being declared as righteous, you know, as if we've never done anything wrong and always done what's right. And then you've got the accusations that come up against us as well to go, okay, so before God, we're right, we're good. But then it moves to us and it's almost like Satan accuses us as well and goes, well, look at these areas in your life, you know, these problems. God must not love you because of this. And Paul's just reaffirming and doubling down on what we've seen, you know, from the very start of the chapter. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We get this again and it's like, no, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. And all of these things don't mean that God has abandoned you.
Yeah, yeah. In this passage, Paul quotes an Old Testament verse where it says, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you're following Christ, you are signing up for a hard path in life.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean God's abandoned you. In fact, Satan will try and help you believe that God is not worth following.
Now, then you get... it's really helpful pointing that out as well, that if we're facing suffering, especially for being a Christian, you know, we're probably in the right space in some sense, because that's what we should expect, that there's this reality for us. But then you get, you know, verse 37 to 39, which is so powerful, that Paul doesn't just say we'll get through suffering. You know, he doesn't just say we'll get through the difficulties in life, but more than that, we'll be conquerors in that because of what Jesus has done. And then he says, you know, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yeah, it's super helpful.
And it's comforting, isn't it? Particularly if you're in a situation where you go to a funeral and you're confronted by our mortality and death, that it's easy to think our broken relationship, because we're not going to see that person anymore, is similar to God's relationship with us. Like when you die, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's like, no, no, death is not the end. I like the bit he throws in angels or demons. You go, why would he throw in that? Well, you know, there is a demonic side of the world that even if an angel or demon come and tried to separate you from Christ, they won't be able to do it. Nor any powers will be able to separate you from Christ.
Yeah, or just a step further too, in the present or the future, you know, presently you might not be suffering. You might not be going through hardship. In the future you might. You know, that there's this idea, I think, that it's so helpful. It's like whatever time it is as well. It's not just...
Yeah, the here and now, future.
Yeah.
Even to make sure he's covered all the bases, he says, nor anything else in all creation. Yeah, even if I haven't mentioned it, they're not going to be able to tear you away from God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And the focus here that, you know, the reason why it won't be able to separate us is not because of us. It's because of the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah, I think that's really encouraging and helpful to think through. Like the reason God's love will always be with us and the reason God will carry us through whatever we're going through isn't because of us. It's because of God's love. And God is, you know, powerful. God is sovereign. God is in control. What God says will be done is done. The focus here is on God and his heart and his love. And there's just something so comforting knowing that it's not on me to make sure I can get through this.
That's right. Particularly in light of what we've read earlier in the chapter, we are now sons and heirs and children of God. And as a father, yeah, he's not going to let you go.
Yeah. Now, I guess one more picture to think through as we finish this up. As you were talking before, I couldn't help but think of the prodigal son again. And just think of that picture of the son that leaves everything, squanders, you know, his wealth, says to his father he thinks he's dead. And then says to his father, comes back and says, you know, if you'll accept me, even just as a slave. And the father brings him in as a son. And as you just think about that living image there, it's just so nice to go, you know what? It wasn't even him running away didn't break up the love of the father for him. But now he's back and he's in that loving arms of the father, that even when the accuser comes and goes, but hang on, he ran away, The father kind of goes, "Nah, he's my son, and I'm in control of this."
Yeah, it's definitely all dependent on the father's response to how that story plays out, isn't it?
Yeah.
The father's love is an amazing picture. It's also, I'm glad you brought it up, because it is an interesting contrast to the older son. You mentioned the older son is the accuser, and hang on, he doesn't deserve this, which he doesn't deserve it. Mm. But we actually fall into the step of the older brother.
Yeah.
That we actually think we deserve God's love. We become legalists on the inside. That rather than realizing it's all about the love of the Father and how good the Father is, we think, do I deserve it? I should deserve it. We demand our rights, things like that. Mm. That's definitely not the picture that's going on here in Romans 8. It's all because of what Jesus has done, all because of the welcome from the Father that we can stand with strength. Just a quick little thing about, there is a question here about a verse that... how will God not also, along with him being the Son, graciously give us all things?
Yeah.
Again, that has the leaning towards, if you misinterpreted that, it would mean all things, prosperity gospel, the good, easy life.
Mm.
Context shows again that God's plan for us is to hold us close, get us through to future glory. There's no part here in this verse that when you see the heading, the Bible heading, more than conquerors, I'm going to have the good life. I'm going to be someone great and famous.
Yeah.
That is not great in God's eyes. Great is to see you through the end, to be living in the love of Christ. And that should be enough that satisfies us and should be what we crave for. So to cling for him, that is the lesson.
As we wrap up this passage, before we read these verses again as a comfort and a challenge for us today, just want to thank Ross for joining us on this podcast. If you ever do want to find out more from Ross Wilson, make your way to Southside. We'd love to see you there on a Sunday. But as we wrap up this episode, I'm just going to read verse 37 to 39 again and hope that these words are able to help you wherever you are today. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll see you next time.